Hey, Big Blue Nation, it's time to wake up. You know why?
Because it's game day in the Bluegrass, baby. Welcome into episode 2 of Game Day in the Bluegrass. I am your host, Cash Daniel, and it is week 2 here in beautiful Lexington, Kentucky. The Cats are coming off a stellar week 1 performance in their 45-10 win over Louisiana Monroe. But today marks the beginning of SEC play as Mark Stoops and the Kentucky Wildcats welcome in Elijah Drinkwitz and the Missouri Tigers. We'll take a look back on the Louisiana Monroe game, preview today's matchup against Missouri, the Wildcats' keys to victory, a sit-down interview with QB1 Will Levis, Macho Man Randy Savage joins us in studio for his pick 6 games of the week and answering questions from the Big Blue Nation on our Twitter page. All this and more right here on Game Day in the Bluegrass, presented by Patriot RV.
This is Game Day in the Bluegrass with Cash Daniel, presented by Patriot RV.
You can set my house on fire, baby. You can turn it into cinder and smoke. Cause the house is mighty cold and I feel like melting all the snow away.
Good morning, Big Blue Nation, and welcome into episode 2 of Game Day in the Bluegrass, presented by Patriot RV. I'm actually out here right now in the RV lot of Kroger Field. It is a beautiful Saturday morning. I can already smell the burning charcoal and hear the sweet sounds of Miller Lights, Budweiser's, Coors Lights, and all other adult beverages being popped. It's going to be a great day for tailgating. Also going to be a great game here tonight as the Cats take on the Missouri Tigers right here at Kroger Field at 7:30. But today's game is a little bit more about than just football. You know, today marks Heroes Day here at the University of Kentucky, something that has always held close to my heart, something that I've always looked at as being one of my favorite games of the year. We're honoring military members. We're honoring first responders. And like I said, man, it's a lot bigger than football. And without these great people, we would not be able to experience what we're experiencing here today. We would not be out here tailgating. We would not be out here basically living in the freedoms that we have each and every day. And I know a lot of people out there may not agree with me, but that's the way I look at it. So want to give out a big shout out to all of our first responders and all of our military members. Thank you guys for your service. Thank you guys for your sacrifice, for what you do for us each and every day, putting your lives on the line for people that you don't even know. So we really do appreciate you guys. Welcome in here to episode 2 of Game Day in the Bluegrass. Before we head into the Missouri game and the preview of that, let's go ahead and look back at what the Cats did last week against Louisiana Monroe and their dominant performance. The Kentucky offense racked up 554 yards in total offense. Yeah, you heard that right. 554 yards of total offense. An exciting debut for Liam Cohen as Kentucky's offensive coordinator. Definitely bringing a sense of balance, you know, to this Kentucky Wildcat offense. I don't think he's shown everything that we're going to be able to throw at people this year. Obviously, with a week one opponent like ULM, no disrespect to ULM, but it is not an SEC caliber team that we will be facing each and every Saturday throughout the rest of the year. So we're not going to be able to throw stuff out there for people like Missouri or people like Tennessee or Georgia on down the line to go ahead and say, hey, they put this out on tape on week one. Let's go ahead and get prepared for that. But what Liam Cohen did do was bring a sense of balance, like I've said, and being able to throw the ball really all over the field at will. And speaking of will, QB1 Will Levis had probably one of the best performances by a Kentucky quarterback in a long time, or as far as I can remember, you know, especially for it being his debut game. And like I said, I know it was against an inferior opponent, but you know, the guy was just absolutely unreal. He went 18 of 26 for 367 yards, averaging 14.1 yards per throw, 4 touchdowns, and 1 interception, which really wasn't entirely his fault. The big man behind him, Chris Rodriguez, ran for 125 yards off 19 carries, averaging 6.6 yards per carry and 1 touchdown. One of the weapons out on the perimeter, Josh Ali, caught 5 passes for 136 yards, averaging 27.2 yards per catch and 1 touchdown. Then here comes that man from Western Hills, Kentucky. The hometown boy, Wandale Robinson, made his Kentucky debut and had a great welcome home party this past weekend with 5 catches, 136 yards, 25 yards per catch, and 2 touchdowns. And when you look back on that game, what a performance what it was by that Kentucky offense. Like I said, how much of a balance that Liam Cohen brings to this offense, being able to utilize tight ends, still dominate the run game, and obviously utilize the play action pass, which opened up 2 of Kentucky's touchdowns. Now let's look at the Kentucky defense. The Kentucky defense only allowed 87 total yards of offense, led by super senior Josh Pascal, who had a team high 7 tackles, 2 of them being a tackle for loss and 1 sack. Outside linebacker and edge rusher Jordan Wright, J-Dub as I like to call him, had 6 tackles, 2 tackles for losses, and 1 sack. I believe that him and J.J. Weaver had a bet going on, if I'm not mistaken. I believe my friend Maggie from LEX18 got to interview J.J. Either this past week or 2 weeks ago, and I believe J.J. said that him and J-Dub have a bet going to whoever can get the first sack. The loser has to do 500 push-ups. By the looks of it, looks like you're about to do some 500 push-ups here, JJ, so you better get that chest rolling. And when you look back on that stat, you know, 87 yards of total offense, I mean, that's unreal. I mean, I believe that's one of the first times that a Kentucky defense has held a team under 100 yards, you know, in a long time. Even the defenses I was a part of with guys like Josh Allen, Mike Edwards, Chris Westry, Derek Beatty, you know, the list goes on of guys that are now playing in the league. And so to be able to have that stat, you know, for the first game of the year, even though I keep going back and saying I know it was a week 1 inferior opponent, but it's still pretty damn impressive. But when you look at the game and when I watched the game, there was a lot of areas that, you know, the Kentucky defense could improve, especially on the defensive line. You know, I think they could have stuck their gaps a little more. You know, a lot of guys were peaking. And just overall, I think there could be a better job this week against Missouri of being able to plug those holes, especially with Missouri's run game. And we'll get into that a little bit later. But speaking of the Kentucky defense, the leader of the Kentucky defense and the staff room, Brad White. You know, what Coach White brings to the table each and every Saturday or every time he steps in that building is a sense of professionalism that he brings from the National Football League, where he coached in his previous stint before coming to the University of Kentucky with the Indianapolis Colts. You know, I can remember when Coach White first got on campus, man, and he was the outside linebackers coach before Coach White left and he became defense coordinator. And just since day one, he was all about managing this program and this defense, you know, how an NFL team does. And so you can definitely see the changes each and every year that Coach White makes of putting guys in position to make plays, making play calls where he's comfortable of the guys that he has out there to be able to go out there and execute the play call. And, you know, it just seems like this Kentucky defense is just rolling. I hope that they can keep it going. Actually, I know that they can keep it going with guys like Brad White at the helm and guys that he has surrounding around him in that coaching staff. Well, let's go ahead and preview today's game against Missouri Tigers. Missouri coming off a 34-24 win over Central Michigan, where the Tigers had 468 yards of total offense while allowing 475 yards on defense. Starting quarterback Connor Basilick was 21 of 32 for 257 yards and 2 touchdowns. Senior running back Tyler Batty had 25 carries for 203 yards and 1 touchdown, averaging 8.1 yards per carry. I believe this is definitely going to be Kentucky's, obviously, the first real challenge of the season, you know, especially our front seven with over 200 yards of offense being on the ground. Missouri being a ground and pound kind of team, you know, I think it's going to challenge our front seven, especially our linebackers and defensive linemen, you know, to be able to execute each and every play call that's out there, have the checks in motion, be able to read pre-snap alignments and go execute from there. When you look at Missouri's offense, the first thing you can think of is multiple personnels, mainly out of 11 and 12 personnels. We're going back. We're trying to dumb it down for a lot of people. 11 personnel is 1 running back, 1 tight end, 12 personnel being 1 running back, 2 tight ends. And from what I've seen on film, Missouri uses a lot of pre-snap motion to create eye candy for UK linebackers and defensive backs, especially out of the backfield with T-hum, T-motion, T-return. You know, there's going to be a lot of times where Kentucky has to be able to key of what they're keying and not be able to get sucked into the eye candy. In the run game, Missouri relies heavily on the outside zone scheme in both 11 and 12 personnel, but more so in 11 personnel, you'll see Missouri run a GT counter, zone read cut off the tight end, split zone, and mixing in some play action bootlegs and middle flood concepts in the passing game. Then when they get into 12 personnel, you'll see some heavy outside zone concepts as well, but this time maybe even with a lead blocker like a tight end or a fullback or something like that. But you also see more of a GT pull to the field. And Kentucky linebackers have to be able to do a great job of seeing the pulls early from the first snap, getting over and down on their backside blocks, fit pullers and tight ends to where they're either running the ball back into the heart of the defense or spilling it out to the flat and making Missouri run east and west rather than north and south downhill. And now looking back at it, obviously, you know, just saying that communication and being disciplined with your keys, I believe, is going to be vital to Kentucky's success against this Missouri offense and actually one of the keys to victory. So we'll be able to talk about that here in a little bit. And looking at the Missouri defense, they had five players who had five tackles or more against Central Michigan, led by senior linebacker Blaze Aldridge. Now, even before I get into his stats, and he definitely deserves to be on the All-SEC name list just because of that name alone, Blaze. That's pretty cool. Blaze Aldridge had 10 tackles, 6 tackles for losses, 3.5 sacks in one game. Damn, that's pretty impressive. 3.5 sacks and 6 tackles for losses. That's pretty impressive. Now we're looking into the Kentucky's keys to victory. Obviously, the first one being on the offensive side of the ball is offense efficiency. We have to be able to effectively move the ball on the ground and in the air and really out-physical Missouri's front seven, especially from the start, meaning the big blue wall, tight ends, even receivers out on the perimeter have to be the more physical group and try to wear down this Tiger defense. Ball security will play a major role just like it does in every game. We can't afford to put the ball on the ground and give it back to Missouri's offense in good field position. I believe we put the ball on the ground twice last week. That cannot happen this week. You might be able to get away with it with an inferior opponent like ULM, but you will not be able to get away with it with an SEC caliber team. Also believe that utilizing the play action pass like last week will also help open up passes down the field for Kentucky's receivers and tight ends to go make plays like you saw last week. You know, Will Levis doesn't have to put the ball on the money every time, you know, which he did last week in his opening debut. But being able to have guys like Wandell Robinson, Josh Ali, Isaiah Epps, Brendan Bates, Justin Rigg, and everybody else there on that Kentucky and that Kentucky skill group, being able to put the ball in an area to where they can go up and make a play, because those guys are just playmakers. You know, you have to be able to go up and get the ball, just like the one play that Josh Ali did. He went up and absolutely took it out of the air last week, and that gives Will Levis confidence, you know, to be able to throw the ball down deep to the field like that, because his guys are going to go up and fight for the football. And on the defensive side of things, I believe the number one key to victory really is stopping the run. When you look at an offense like Missouri, who had 211 yards last week on the ground, and with an offensive line that averages being 6'5" and over 300 pounds across the board, except for center Michael Mady, who comes in at 6'1", 297 pounds. You know, Kentucky's defense has to be disciplined with their keys, meaning that with all the pre-snap motion Missouri does, all of our linebackers and defensive backs can't get sucked into the eye candy and not key what they're supposed to key, because if you do that, that's how explosive plays happen, that's how busted coverages happen, and ultimately, that's how Missouri gets in the end zone. Protect the ball on offense, be the more physical bunch up front, create turnovers on defense, and have the eye discipline to go out and make a play each and every time you step out on the field. But really, other than that, what it really comes down to is who can execute in all phases of the game, who can take the play call from the huddle or from the sideline and go out there and execute their job, play in and play out. And it takes all 11 guys. You know, guys are out there fighting their own individual war. There's 11 different battles going out there involved in one war. You have to win your one-on-one battle each and every time for the team to be successful. Kentucky has to protect the ball on offense, be the more physical bunch up front on offense and defense. We have to create turnovers on defense and have eye discipline so where we're not being sucked in by the eye candy like I've talked about so many times already on here on this show. But other than that, what it really comes down to is who can go out and execute in all phases of the game. Who can take the play call from the sideline or from the huddle and go out there and execute their play to the best of their abilities. So, with that being said, coming up on the second segment of Game Day in the Bluegrass, we sit down with QB1 Will Levis for this week's interview. Macho Man Randy Savage joins us in studio with his pick six games of the week, and we're answering questions from the Big Blue Nation from, well, I would say our Twitter page. We don't have a Twitter page for the show yet, but my Twitter page. So, all this coming up on Game Day in the Bluegrass right after these short messages.
Light the fuse and run now, brother, because you ain't got a lot of time. Don't you act surprised when it all goes to hell on your dime. Maybe you can stand tall enough to look the devil. So you don't have to answer why.
Welcome back to Game Day in the Bluegrass, everybody, presented by Patriot RV. Will Levis, like I said earlier in the show, had probably one of the best debuts of any Kentucky quarterback I've known or heard of. I mean, the guy was really just lights out, earning the highest passing grade by an SEC quarterback since 2014 at 91.5, according to PFF College. I got to sit down earlier this week with Will Levis, and let me tell you, I can see why now he was voted a team captain, which was even more impressive since he's only arrived on campus this past summer. So this week's interview on Game Day in the Bluegrass with QB1, Will Levis.
Will Levis, QB1. What's going on, my man?
Nothing much. Just got done with a good day of practice and getting ready for Missouri this week.
I saw that, man. I saw that. I got to go out there on the patio there with Chris and his guy there. We got to watch you guys do some work there, man. You look. One thing I will say about just watching you play overall, even from last week to watching you out there in practice, man, you look smooth as hell in that pocket. I'm sorry, you look comfortable. You look calm, cool, collective. Where does that come from?
I think it just comes from repetition and just, I've been playing college football. It's my fourth year, and that's something that I did have to get comfortable with at first. And pocket presence is huge for me and something I'm still working on. But I think it's also just a product of knowing your stuff. And when you go out there and you're confident in your ability to make the throws and to make the right reads, everything just feels a little more natural and a little more comfortable. So it's probably a combination of those two.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And speaking of that, dude, you came in not in spring. You transferred in. You didn't get here until the summer. And I know that's putting a lot of time, you know, just saying, hey, I got to get this playbook down. I got to be able to mesh with the guys, be able to make sure we're on the same page of things. Everybody that I've talked to, some guys that I played with, the guys that that been around the program, guys like Courtney that I'm still friends with, everybody says one thing about you, man, is you're a great teammate. You know, and one thing that I always took pride in, you know, when I played, you know, was, I mean, I wasn't the best player. You know, but for me, being as good teammate as I could and try to be that leader in that locker room, it seems like that's potentially, you know, what helped me and what helped, you know, the other guys thrive. So being able to have that short amount of time to come in, how did you really handle all of, you know, one, getting the playbook down, and two, being able to have time to get on a level with these guys to where they know, hey, this is our guy. You know, we can go out here, we can trust him to put the ball in position for us to go make plays. We can also get and trust him to get us in position to score and put our defense back on the field in good ball position, things like that. So basically, how did you be able to have such a short amount of time but still be able to get a group together, calm, cool, and collectively, and be able to go out there and perform smooth on Saturdays?
Yeah, so I think in order to have a good team, you hit it on the head. Like, you need to have good players, but it's almost equally as important just to have good people and just to have that group of guys that really have that brotherhood and have that reliability on one another and that trust in one another. And coming in, that was a challenge for me, just being that new guy, having to try to gain everyone's trust in that short amount of time. I knew that was going to be something that I had to overcome. And so just getting here, biggest thing for me was when I got here, it was all football. That was my only focus. I didn't have any summer classes. Luckily, I'd already graduated, so my grad school didn't start till the fall. So I kind of treated it as if I was like a pro athlete. Like, I literally just had to focus on football, not only just the technical things with learning the playbook, but also just getting to know the guys on the team and getting everybody together and showing that I can be a leader for these guys. And that's just something that I didn't emphasize enough when I was at Penn State, and I knew that was kind of a missing piece to my game and just my personality as a leader and as a quarterback. And so I made that a point of emphasis for myself. And when I got here in the summer, I like made it a point to introduce myself to everybody, get to know everybody's names as much as possible, learning how these guys run, how they can be led effectively, getting guys out to throw whenever I could, and just getting that chemistry down that's so important, especially from a quarterback and receivers, even offensive line. And then when I got to camp, it was just operating with confidence, operating as a leader, knowing my stuff, going out there and just trying to command the respect of everybody else. And I think just with my preparation and just my personality, it kind of just came together.
Yeah, man, it seems like everybody really just swarms around you, you know, in a sense to where they know that, hey, this guy's confident in what he's doing, but at the same time, he's going to put the ball in position where I can go make an athletic play, you know, and get up the ball downfield. And speaking of you talking about being a pro and how you're approaching everything, having a guy like Liam Cohen in your room obviously has to be a big help, coming from the Los Angeles Rams, coaching a guy like Jared Goff. Take me through that process of when you got on campus meeting with Coach Cohen, and how has he prepared you almost to be able to get ready for the next level?
Yeah, I think the coolest thing for us, what we have at our disposal is just, I mean, we are running that pretty much same system that the Los Angeles Rams are. So when we want to learn how to run a play well and effectively, we can just turn on the tape of these NFL dudes just running it to a T and seeing what it really takes to get to that next level and what the details and everything that are so necessary to make every play work. And ever since before I got here, when I was able to have access to the playbook and see the film and watch the different concepts, it was just really cool to see those guys playing at such a high level and aspiring to get to that level of how Goff performs at least, because that's who we see the most of, just his accuracy, his timing, his footwork. And it just, and Coach Cohen at the same time teaches it so well. He's a good teacher of things. And I like to think of myself as a good learner. I think I take things from the meeting room onto the field very well. I take pride in that. And just combining that with his ability to really get through to me and teach the concepts well, we've just been a good match for each other. And so since even when I had committed and signed my intent to come here, and when I was able to talk to them about the offense and be in Zoom meetings with them throughout spring, even though I wasn't here, I tried my best to really prepare myself as much as possible, because I knew I was kind of missing out on that spring period, which would have helped me a lot. But at the same time, wanted to make sure that when I got here in the summer that I didn't skip a beat and that I was ready to kind of get after things as soon as I got here.
Damn, man, you're getting me pumped up. I kind of wish I played with you on that defensive side of things, man. You're speaking my language. But, transferring out of Penn State, now the Big Ten, obviously you had other places you could have went. What ultimately led you to come to University of Kentucky and play for Coach Stoops?
It was a combination of a lot of things. I think that the vision that Coach Cohen had for the offense and his just his belief that I could be really good in this offense, even though he'd need to see it for himself once I got here. Just he really believed that I had the tools and I had the character to what it takes to lead this team and to play effectively in this offense, which I also agreed with once I was able to see some of the tape and everything. And then just Kentucky football obviously has had a great run here these past 4 or 5 years. And I think with the one thing that's kind of been missing a little bit is just that efficient passing game. And I think that once that was added to it, it just was going to take them to that next echelon. So I thought to be a part of that kind of transition and to be a part of the new offense that's being implemented that could really change the path of the program, even though it has been on an upward trend here recently. Again, also just playing in the SEC. I mean, best conference in college football. Even though I came from the Big Ten, I can pretty much say that with confidence. I want to play a good competition. I want to play the best teams, and I want to win big games and big time moments. So it was kind of a no-brainer for me, and I haven't looked back since.
That's awesome, man. And I know you get this a lot, but man, I have to ask, how in the hell did the banana thing come about? How did it come about, bro?
It was, I think it was like I was just sitting there bored at like my girlfriend's house over the summer when we had like a week off here in the summer. And I'd seen like, you know, the whole like stigma behind like everyone stays away from the brown spots on the banana. It's kind of gross. Yeah. And I saw like, I think I saw some video online of some dude just like eating like a brown spot on a banana and people were like going crazy. And I looked over to my left and there's this like completely ripened brown banana. I was like, well, wouldn't it be funny if I just, or even more, I'd get even a crazy response if I just ate the whole thing with the peel. So I did that, and then it only resurfaced on like Twitter and everything once I think when I was named the starting quarterback, and it kind of blew up. And I don't know. I mean,
hey man, it's your thing.
It's
man.
Had a relatively positive response. Yeah, it was just kind of goofy and kind of funny, but I'll ride with it for sure.
Absolutely, man. I think that's a great thing about you, man. You're not afraid to be yourself, yeah. And I think that's a lot of thing that, you know, athletes these days and now are thinking, you know, I have to be this way, a certain way. You know, how are people going to respond if I do this and that? But man, it seems like you're being yourself, and you know, I think that's the ultimate, most important thing. The thing that I got out of playing for Coach Stoops, especially, was that he'll never try to change who you are, man. You know, he's always about who you come in as. You know, obviously, you know, if there's some things that you have to work on as a, you know, with your character and things like that out in the public around the campus, obviously he's going to step in and try to lead you in the right direction. But as far as who you are as a person, you know, that was one of the things that I always appreciate about Coach Stoops, is that he never tried to change me, never tried to change a lot of people. So that's awesome, man. And looking back at that ULM game, man, you had probably one of the best debuts as a UK quarterback this program has seen. Obviously, you know, playing up against a team like ULM compared to now this week against the Missouri Tigers, your first SEC start. What are some of the things you saw from Saturday that you guys have to clean up in order to pull out the victory this Saturday against Missouri?
I just think a lot of things on the execution standpoint from the offense. Obviously, that first turnover, didn't imagine my first throw as a Kentucky Wildcat to be intercepted, but just kind of had to laugh about it and move on from that. And then we had two other turnovers, a fumble and then a strip, things that we can get cleaned up pretty easily. And a couple of just procedural things that weren't teed up very well. And that was on me on the one snap that kind of went behind me, and that we had to settle for a field goal that drive, which kind of stinks having to leave points on the board like that. But those are things you can't afford to do in games against like playing teams like Missouri or any games for that matter. But we focus on every game as if it's the most important game. And right now it's Missouri, and it's going to be a tougher opponent for sure. And a SEC opponent, a team that the team lost to last year. So I know that they got something kind of festering inside of them, waiting to let that out for the game. So we got that sort of motivation for sure. But we're just going to play our game. I mean, we're expecting a lot of man coverage. Like I think more than 75% of their snaps they played against Central Michigan this past week was straight man. So it's going to be our guys versus their guys for the most part. And our guys got to be better from there. So football's fun that way. I mean, it's kind of just line up and whoever's better is going to win the game. And I'm looking forward to see how it goes.
That's it, man. You got the athletes out there to do. You got guys like Wando Robbins. You got guys like Josh Ali, Isaiah Epps. Is it ever hard, you know, sometimes to be able to, I know the first thing you're reading through your progressions, first progression here, second progression here, but at the same time, is it kind of hard to be able to decipher of, you know, how much talent you actually have out there and on the perimeter sometimes?
Well, yeah, I think a good example of that was my favorite ball I threw against ULM was on a 3rd and 8, a deep ball down the far sideline to Isaiah Epps when he kind of went up and grabbed that. And that's honestly something that I haven't seen out of Isaiah yet, just going up and going for a ball and just coming down and getting those yards after catch. So seeing that from him, I mean, obviously I trusted him beforehand, but now that I've seen that out of him, it makes me trust him even more, and he'll get opportunities like that again for sure. But I think those live situations and games, you get to see stuff out of guys that aren't necessarily able to be shown in practice just because it's not live and stuff like that. Like Wandell bouncing off that one dude on the 5 and walking in. He's got a big heart. He's a strong player, as small as he is. I mean, he's going to fight for any yards he can get. And that's just awesome stuff to see. And I think we got some real talent out there at our skill position. And obviously up front, we got some big boys that are able to move and do some good things. I think with the running game, we got some stuff to clean up. Some schemes that we left a lot of rushing yards out there on the field this past weekend. And I think every week it's just going to get better and better with just the experience that they get with these new concepts. But I'm excited to see what we can do against Missouri, and it's going to be a fun rest of the season for sure.
Absolutely, man. We're all excited for you. Big Blue Nation, excited you're here, excited you guys are getting the offense rolling and balanced. And, you know, man, we're looking forward to a great game this Saturday, man. Thank you for sitting down with me.
No problem.
It means a lot, man. I look forward to watching you play this Saturday.
Thank
appreciate
you so much.
It, man.
It's my pleasure.
Wow, what an interview, man. I mean, that guy really does get it. You know, overall, he gets it. There's some people that say, you know, what makes this player special here and there? What makes Will Levis special is that the guy gets it from all phases of being a good teammate to being a good leader to going out there and executing the play call each and every time. So, Kentucky, we are in good hands at quarterback. We appreciate Will Levis coming on, talking to us. We'll try to do a player/coach interview each and every week right here on Game Day in the Bluegrass. I don't know who we're going to try to get next week. Depends on what we see on Saturday, I guess. We might do a coach next week. So we'll actually do a poll on that on our Twitter page. So go ahead and vote on that. If you want to see a coach or you want to see another player, let us know. And as we look across the rest of college football, we have our pick 6 games of the week. Last week, we had our friend Stone Cold Steve Austin come in and pick his 6 games that he thought were going to be notable on the college football schedule. Now we're bringing in another friend of ours, Macho Man Randy Savage, who's going to be giving us his pick 6 games of the week. Macho Man, thank you for joining us in studio, my man.
You know something, Cash? You know, I really enjoy being here, brother. Thank you so much for bringing me in. You know, the Macho Man has so many things going on today, but I had to come in and have my pick 6 games of the week. Oh yeah, starting out at Texas at Arkansas, man, it's horns down for life, but I believe the Arkansas Razorbacks don't have a chance against the Texas Longhorns, even though it's SEC against the Big 12 and Texas is coming in here in a couple years in the SEC. I believe that Arkansas doesn't have what it takes to get it done. I'm taking Texas at Arkansas. Then you're looking at Appalachian State at Miami. Miami coming off a horrible loss last week to Alabama, but I believe they change it around this week and get the win against Appalachian State. Obviously, why we're all here today, Missouri at Kentucky. Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah, Kentucky at Missouri. I believe that Liam Cohen and the offense is rolling. I believe that Brad White and the defense is rolling. And I believe the Kentucky Wildcats overall are rolling. I'm taking Kentucky over Missouri. Now we look at NC State versus Mississippi State. Last week, Mississippi State needed the biggest comeback in school history to defeat Louisiana Tech, and I don't believe they're the cream of the crop yet, so I'm going to take NC State over at Mississippi State this week. And the last game of the Macho Man Pick Six games of the week, we're going to head up to Ohio State, man, where Oregon comes in to take on the Buckeyes. And last week, what a great game by Ohio State. But you know something, man? I believe that this is going to be Ohio State's true test this week with the athletes that Oregon has, with the coaching staff that Oregon has. I'm going to take the Ducks over Ohio State, man. You know, and here's the thing about it. You can disagree with the Macho Man. You can hate the Macho Man. You may not like it, but accept it. Thank you for having me on, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, you about made me scared right there just picking out all those games. Too much intensity for me.
But thank you, Macho Man, for your pick six games of the week. Now let's head over to Twitter to where the Big Blue Nation always asks us some great questions about this upcoming game. The first one coming from my man Greg Reeves. Greg asks, Cash, what are your keys to disrupting the Missouri offense and getting them into third and long situations, and who will be defensive MVP? Well, Greg, I believe the first thing we have to do, like I said earlier in the show, and one of the keys to victory is stopping the run. Like Missouri had over 200 yards of rushing last week, and I believe that a lot of those were set up by first down opportunities to be able to run the ball 4 yards plus. And so I believe when we get guys in second and eight, second and nine, second and seven, you know, you'll be able to dial up some pass rush and get guys like J-Dub or J.J. Weaver or Josh Pascal, or send an inside linebacker like DeAndre Square back there to get a couple sacks, or even to just disrupt the quarterback in itself to get a guy in his face and ultimately hopefully make a bad throw to get him in like those third and seven, third, eight, and third and nine situations. But we have to be able to bring the heat. We have to be able to be good in our pass coverage in the back end. And like I said, we have to be able to stop the run. My defensive MVP for this game, I think I'm going to go with senior linebacker DeAndre Square. You know, I believe that this kind of fits the Square's game, you know, with more keys, he's being able to key and being able to make out those communication calls and be able to go out there and stop the run and find holes to get back there to the quarterback. So I'm going to go with DeAndre Square as my defensive MVP. The next question comes from my man, Josh Mattingly. Josh asked, Cash, which is more likely, Chris Rodriguez rushes for 125 yards or Wandale Robinson catches for 125 yards? You know, brother, that is a really, really good question, actually, just because of what you look at with the offense that Liam Cohen brings. And I know I've said this, you know, repeatedly now, but just the overall balance. I mean, we're not just a straight power running team anymore. We're able to throw the football downfield. We're able to get into play action passes. We're able to utilize our tight ends. So, I mean, that's really a toss up. But if I had to be a betting man, you know, I'm not going to bet on something that's not broke. So I'm going to bet on the run game. I would bet that Chris Rodriguez rushes for 125 yards more than Wandale catches for 125 yards. To be quite honest with you, though, I hope they both have 150 yard games. I hope that, you know, we're able to sling the ball all over the field. I believe that we'll be able to run the ball. But at the same time, if we can get the ball in the air and push it vertically downfield like we did last week, you know, it's going to be a pretty exciting night at Kroger Field. So, but like I said, if I was a betting man, I'm going to bet on the offensive line. I'm going to bet on Chris Rodriguez and go with C-Rod rushing for 125 yards. Next question comes in from my man Kevin Rise. Kevin asks, Cash, which team do you think has the best defense? Well, I mean, if you're looking at stat wise, obviously it's the Kentucky defense, with Kentucky only allowing 87 yards of offense last week, with the Missouri defense allowing 475 yards on defense. And so even with, like I said before, an inferior opponent like Louisiana Monroe, obviously I believe Central Michigan is a better team than Louisiana Monroe. But when you look at the defensive stats and the guys they have on that team, you know, I believe that our front seven, our defensive backs, our linebackers, literally, I believe that our players on that defense is better than Missouri Tigers defense. So I'm going to go non-biased here, obviously. I think I'm going to go with the Kentucky defense. Next question comes from Zach Lemony. I'm sorry if I pronounced that wrong, brother. But Zach asked, Cash, favorite story from our walk-off winner against Mizzou in 18. Now, that's a great question, because that was one of the
craziest football games I've ever been a part of, and one of the greatest memories for me playing at Kentucky. You know, going into that game, I think that was the first game that I played with my broken hand. Had it clubbed up, got shot up with numbing medicine before the game, and really I was just trying to learn how to play with one hand out there. In the SEC, you kind of need two hands to go out there and even have a chance. So that was a learning experience for me moving forward with that season. But just how that game unfolded, I mean, you know, our defense was shaky that first half. Our offense really kept us in it. And then coming out in that second half, man, our defense just turned up. We didn't allow a single first down on offense that entire second half. And obviously, plays like David Bouvier made, plays like Lynn made with a punt return, and then the big one being C.J. Conrad with the infamous push-off there in the end zone for the win. It was crazy. The locker room was crazy. I'd say the best memory, though, you know, was going up to CJ after that. You know, me and CJ used to be roommates. He was my official host on my official visit. So me and CJ have had some great times together. And to go up there and see a guy that wasn't really being utilized in the offense a lot, but then having that moment to where he caught the game-winning touchdown pass to beat the Missouri Tigers there at Missouri, you know, just to see the overall joy on his face and going up to him and giving him a big hug right after the game, you know, it was something that, you know, I'll really never forget. Also won't forget Coach Stoops punching out the ceiling tile there in the Missouri away locker room when we got turned up to, I think it was Mo Bamba, when we were getting turned to, and he crowd surfed, and I think I had it on video as well. And then him being so excited that he punched one of the ceiling tiles out. So that was a great memory as well. And, you know, hopefully it doesn't have to come down to a last second touchdown tonight, but if it does, look for Coach Stoops to get turned up in that locker room as well. And then our last question comes from my man Brock Smith. Brock asked, better pooch kicker or better pooch punter, my bad, Grant McInnes or yourself? Now, let's talk about Grant McInnes here for a second, folks. Grant McInnes was a former kicker here at the University of Kentucky. He was one of my guys that came into my class, one of my really close friends, and obviously had to go somewhere else to get his opportunity. But, you know, Grant's a great guy. He does a great job, you know, everywhere he goes. He's a goofball, and, you know, he's just a great guy to be around. You know, I joke around on Twitter this past week with hashtag beat Grant McInnes, but obviously I think I texted Grant before that and was like, hey, do you mind if I use this? Just because at the end of the day, you know, it's all for jokes, but, you know, Grant's a great guy and he's a great kicker. But answering your question, I believe that Grant would be a better pooch punter than me. I'm not so keen on the kicking game. You know, I could barely play linebacker. So I believe I'm going to leave the pooch punts up to Grant, and I believe he'd beat my ass at that. And that's going to be a wrap for episode 2 of Game Day in the Bluegrass. We've covered a lot. We've previewed the game. We've answered questions. Macho Man Randy Savage came in and told us his pick 6 games of the week. Now it's time to tailgate and go enjoy the game. Everybody drive safe, enjoy the game, and let's go on to 2-0. We'll see you guys next week right here on Game Day in the Bluegrass. I'm Cash Daniel, presented by Patriot RV.